Welcome to the Stats Modeling the World Instructors Podcasts. 10 points in under 10 minutes. We hope you find them helpful.
Hi, Dave Bach here to talk about Chapter 12. In Chapter 12, we discuss how to collect useful data from representative samples and introduce terminology and notation about populations and parameters. We examine the importance of random selection and of sample size. We discuss several sampling designs and many kinds of bias that can render our results meaningless. Here are 10 important points you'll want to keep in mind. 1. At last we can say population and sample. Be careful to use the terms precisely, and insist that students do so too. While any subset of a population can be considered a sample, only a randomized representative sample is likely to be useful for statistics, so we must restrict meaningful analysis to probabilistic samples. 2. Population models have parameters. Samples have statistics. We calculate the sample statistics from our data. We can only make guesses about the parameters of the models we think describe the population. For example, don't slip and say that we are trying to estimate the sample mean. We can compute the sample mean exactly once we have the sample. It's the population mean we are estimating. 3. It's important for students to realize that characteristics of population, shape, center, spread, percentages, and so on, aren't merely unknown. They are usually unknowable. This is why we're forced to rely on statistics. We understand in concept what we mean when we talk about the mean height of all U.S. adults. We can estimate what that mean is from a sample. We just cannot know. The challenge, of course, is to be sure that the sample we use accurately represents the population. 4. Notation now becomes increasingly important. Students need to understand that there is nothing casual about the notation we use. It's part of the way we communicate. In statistics, many of the letters we use stand for something very precise to allow us to distinguish between similar and potentially confusing values. The mean of a sample is written y-bar. Do not confuse this with the mean of a population, mu, for example. 5. This chapter has an unusually large amount of new vocabulary, dealing with the various sampling designs and the many bias issues. Always insist that students use the word properly. Clarity of communication is important, and there's plenty of room for confusion. As one example, response bias, voluntary response bias, and non-response bias are not all the same thing. 6. It's important that students understand the difference between bias and error. Unfortunately, error sounds worse, as though it were a mistake and thus potentially preventable. It isn't. Sampling error might also be called sampling variation. Sampling error simply describes the natural variability in results that will be observed from one sample to the next, none of them exactly capturing the truth of the population. Luckily, and remarkably, as we'll see later on, this sample-to-sample variation is predictable and quantifiable. That's how pollsters can say they have a sampling error of plus or minus 4%. 7. Bias is quite another matter. Bias means that something about the sampling design systematically distorts the samples so that they tend not to reflect the population reality. This problem is fatal. When bias is present, we cannot draw any conclusion about the population. Imagine shooting arrows at a target. Even if we aim at the bullseye, we usually miss, sometimes high or low, left or right. But at least we know the arrow strikes somewhere near the intended spot. That's error. When our sights are out of adjustment, though, the arrows don't even cluster around the bullseye. That's bias, clearly a more serious problem. Error is okay. Bias is bad. One of the ways we must combat bias is by choosing our sample at random. 8. Because we talk so often about simple random samples, students often believe that any random sample is an SRS. Get them to stop paying attention to the word random and instead look at the word simple. We hope all our sampling methods are random. If the sampling strategy allows any subset of the population an equal chance to be chosen, then it's simple. When other restrictions are present, such as choosing an equal number of males and females, the sample may still be random, but it is no longer simple. 9. Stratified samples and cluster samples are also important. Simple random sampling risks over or underrepresenting subsets of the population that we believe to differ with respect to our variable of interest. So we sample separately from each of those subgroups. Thus, we stratify to reduce variability, read that, error. If instead of having subgroups that are internally alike but different from one another, we have subgroups that are alike, each containing individuals that represent the diversity of the population, then we can get our sample by choosing entire clusters at random. 10. Try to speak of samples in terms of their size, n, rather than in terms of what fraction of the population they represent. Don't slip and suggest that it's the fraction of the population we sample that determines the precision of our estimates. All that matters is the sample size. One spoonful of ice cream can tell you whether you like the flavor, no matter how much of that particular kind exists in the world.
Thank you very much. This concludes our discussion. We hope you find it helpful.